Welcome to Pursuit Church Podcast, where we give those far from God the opportunity to pursue Christ. We are so glad you are here, and wherever you're listening from, we believe God has a word for you through today's message.
Welcome everyone to Pursuit. We're so very happy that you could be with us today. Before you're seated, I want to read from the book of Luke, chapter 17, verses 28 through 32. Luke chapter 18, verses 28 through 32. It says, "Likewise, as it was also in the days of Lot, they ate, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they built. But on the day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. Even so it will be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. In that day, he who is on the housetop and his goods are in the house, let him not come down to take them away. And likewise, the one who is in the field, let him not turn back." He ends with this: "Remember Lot's wife." This morning, I simply want to speak on, are you lingering in the last days? You may be seated this morning. In the Bible, there is this consistent message of distinction. Over and over again, we are introduced to two different and opposite extremes that stand in contrast to each other. The first time we see this, it is in the very beginning of the Bible, in the book of Genesis, and it says that there was darkness, and then there was light. And in the fourth verse of the Bible, God separates the light from the darkness. They cannot coexist. One replaces the other. They are complete opposites. The Bible is full of these distinctions. There is Isaac and Ishmael. There is Jacob and Esau. There are the wise virgins and the foolish virgins. There in the New Testament was the broad way and then the narrow way, the wide gate and the straight gate. There is the foolish man who built his house on the sand, and then there was the wise man who would build his house on a rock. And all these represent two extremes, two ways to live. One way is good while the other is not. One way leads to life while the other leads to death. One leads to refuge while the other leads to judgment. And one of those contrasts is presented to us in the life of Abraham and his nephew Lot. Both of these two men began their journey together. They were wealthy. They were blessed men. They had large herds and many servants, and their two households required many resources to sustain them. And so eventually it became too difficult for them to be together and coexist. And Abraham recognized this first, and he told his nephew Lot that they would have to separate. They would need to go their own way. Abraham, though he was the older man, he was the elder, he had the right to choose first. He told his nephew Lot, "You go ahead and choose what land you want first." And this is where we begin to see the difference between Abraham and Lot. Abraham is a blessed man with many material goods, but already he has determined that he is not living for this world. Abraham is a man who lives with heaven in his view. He lives with eternity on his mind. The Bible says, speaking about Abraham, when he pitched his tent, he never drove the stakes too deep. He never anchored himself to this world because his hope was not in this world. And so Abraham was a man who was always living with heaven in sight. His treasures were not in this world. And so that meant that he didn't have to have the first choice of land. He didn't need the well-watered plains of Jordan. He was content with what was left. He was content with what appeared to be the lesser part because he wasn't looking to this world to sustain him. So he said, Lot, you go ahead. You take the better part. You take whatever part of the land that you want. And for me, I will trust the Lord. Now, each one of us will fall into one extreme or the other. We will either live like Lot or we will live like Abraham. And yes, we know that Abraham is the example that we ought to follow, but let's look a little today at the other extreme. Let's talk about his nephew Lot. Genesis 13 and 12 says, Abraham dwelled in the land of Canaan. Lot dwelled in the cities of the plain and pitched his tent toward Sodom. Long before Lot went to Sodom, he would pitch his tent toward Sodom. The intention of his heart became evident in his life before he ever began to walk the road that led him down to Sodom. The next verse tells us why this is a problem. Because the men of Sodom were wicked and sinners before the Lord exceedingly. It was a dark place, a dark city. It was an evil culture. And Lot pitched his tent in such a way that the wickedness of Sodom was in view, not just to him, but for his whole family. He had no problem pitching his tent so that him and his family had this constant view of Sodom every day. See, this is the difference between Abraham and Lot. Abraham is living in the world, but this world is not his home. His view is on heaven. Lot, on the other hand, is living for this world with no thought of anything else, no thought of heaven, no thought of eternal life. And less than 30 verses after he pitches his tent toward Sodom, he was living in Sodom. He and his family finds themselves moving to Sodom. In other words, church, it's important how we pitch our tent. We can say with our mouth that we are living for heaven. We can say that we live with eternity on our mind. But if we continually pitch our tent towards the world, our actions say something different. God sees something different. Some today are not yet on the road to Sodom. They're just pitching their tent in that direction. And it's dangerous because if you keep pitching your tent towards Sodom, eventually you will wind up on the road to Sodom. Eventually you'll find yourself living in the culture and accepting the culture because your eyes are not on eternity. Your eyes are on the world. Now, Abraham is the kind of man who tries to live as close to the Lord as he possibly can, while Lot is the very opposite. He's the contrast between the two. Lot was a man who tried to live as close to the world as he could. He pitched his tent on the borderline with a view in the wrong direction. He was trying to live on the edge, as close to the world as he could, while still trying to please God. Lot was the type of person to ask the question, will this send me to hell or not? Instead of asking, will this help me in my walk with God? There's a vast difference. Lot always wanted to know how far he could push it. He always wanted to test the boundaries. How close can I get to the world and still be saved? How close to the edge can I get? Jesus said in the Gospel of Matthew chapter 6, no one can serve two masters. Either you will hate the one and love the other, or you will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body or what you'll wear. Is not life more than food and more than clothes? Jesus says you can't serve two masters. Because ultimately, one master will prevail over the other. And the direction that we continually pitch our tent determines which master will win. As the scripture says, eventually, Lot ends up in Sodom, where the Bible says that he vexed his righteous soul daily. Sodom began to influence him. It began to get in his way of living. It began to get in his way of thinking, being constantly surrounded by and participating in a culture that always dishonored the things of God, began to normalize in his life. And he began to look around and he began to think, maybe this type of life is normal. Maybe this is all normal. And what first repulsed him began to become acceptable to him. And he thought to himself, maybe this isn't all so bad. Maybe this is okay. And while his heart is growing soft towards Sodom and the things of Sodom and the culture of Sodom, God's heart is growing hard. And the day does come when God's anger boils over and the wrath of God is imminent, for the Lord is our judge. And there's a time coming when God's mercy is going to run out and it'll be all over and judgment will come to this world. If God failed to judge this world, then he would have to go back and he would have to apologize to Sodom and Gomorrah. But he's the same God. He's the same God that rained fire and brimstone from heaven on that fateful day of judgment. And he will do it again. One day, this world will face judgment. However, before judgment came, God sent an angel. He sent a messenger to preach, if you will, to Lot and his family. And the angel warns Lot of the imminent danger. The angel of the Lord tells them judgment is coming. God is going to judge the sin of this city. God is going to judge Sodom. The angel had come to warn them to seek safety. Run from this place. Run from this culture. Run from this city. But according to scripture, Lot lingers and Lot takes his time. And him and his family don't take it too seriously. The sermon, the message from the messenger. This is how you know the world has got a grip on you. When you recognize that judgment is coming, but you hesitate. And you linger and you push it as far as you can go. You're not in a hurry. Your mind is not made up. That's where many are living today. They may believe everything the preacher says. They may believe that judgment is coming. They may believe that Jesus is returning soon, but still they hesitate and they linger in their sins and they don't make up their mind. They don't take action. They don't take the warning from the preacher seriously. And Jesus gives this warning to our world today. He says, remember Lot's wife. Ultimately, the angels had to forcibly remove Lot and his family from the city. This was the mercy of God. Genesis 19 and 16 says, and while he lingered, the men took hold of his hand, his wife's hand, and the hands of his two daughters. The Lord being merciful to him, and they brought him out and set him outside the city. The hand of God had to drag them out. The mercy of God had to get in their way to save their life. Church, aren't you thankful for the hand of God? Aren't you thankful for the mercy of God? Oh, he's our judge. He is the judge of judges, but he's so merciful. And time and time again, church, though we don't deserve it, God will send a messenger and God will send a preacher into our life. And he has this message of mercy. He tells you, you can come back to the cross. You can get back up. If you have fallen, you can try again. You can find forgiveness. It's the mercy of God pulling for you. It's the mercy of God calling for you. Left to themselves, they would have lingered there too long. But the mercy of God stepped in. And the mercy of God had a plan. And two angels grabbed four people, one with each hand, literally dragging them away from the destruction that was coming. Even as they were leaving the city that day, the judgment of God began to fall and fire and brimstone came crashing down from heaven, and the urgent cries of terror and the sounds of destruction were all around them. Genesis 19 and 17 says, "So it came to pass when they brought them outside that he said, 'Escape for your life. Do not look behind you nor stay anywhere in the plain. Escape to the mountains lest ye be destroyed.' As they fled the city, the angels gave Lot and his wife and his two daughters one final command." Church, don't you know there'll be a final warning? Don't you know there'll be a final message? There'll be a final sermon. They say, "Escape for your life. Don't look back. Don't linger here any longer. Escape to the mountain. There's no hope in the things you've left behind. Whatever you do, don't turn back." God is saying, don't linger in the place of sin. Don't linger in that place of darkness, but instead just run from it. Run away. Run for your life. Don't linger there anymore. Don't stay there anymore. And whatever you do, don't look back. In Luke 9, verse 62, Jesus said, "No man having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God." If we were writing the warning, we might say, don't go back. But that's not what Jesus says. He says, don't even look back. Must have been a terrifying escape. The sounds of horrifying destruction were behind them. The angels were dragging them along, and they were doing all that they could do to keep their eyes forward. Maybe Lot was in the front being pushed along by the angel that was in front, and his wife was being dragged behind, and maybe he couldn't see the rest of his family because he couldn't look back. Maybe he would cry out every now and then to his wife and to his daughters, "Are you still with me? Are we all still together? Are you all still coming?" After all, it was Lot who had got that family into that horrible situation. It was because of his decision that they found themselves in Sodom. But you know the story as well as I do. The moment finally came when Lot called out. One of his daughters said, "Yes, yes, yes, Father, I'm still here." The other daughter cried out, "Yes, Dad, I'm still here." But no answer from his wife. His wife's voice was no longer heard because ultimately she couldn't do it. It was too much for her. Genesis 19 and 26 says, "But Lot's wife looked back. She became a pillar of salt." The angels could drag Lot's wife out of Sodom, but they couldn't get Sodom out of her heart. She was too invested in the city. She loved Sodom. She was attached to the culture. Her treasures were in Sodom. Her heart was in Sodom. And ultimately, the pull of Sodom was too much. And even in the process of escaping with her family as the angels of God are pulling at her, she could not leave it behind. And so she looked back. And judgment fell just like God said it would, and she was condemned with the rest of the city. Church, one day God's words will come to pass, and the world will not continue as it always has. There is coming a day of judgment upon this world. Jesus says in Luke 17, speaking of this future event, he says it was the same in the days of Lot. People were eating and drinking, buying and selling, planting and building. But the day Lot left Sodom, fire and sulfur rained down from heaven and destroyed them all. It will be like this on the day the Son of Man is revealed. On that day, no one who is on the housetop with possessions inside should go down to get them. Likewise, no one who is working in the field should go back for anything. He says, remember Lot's wife. Whoever tries to keep their life will lose it. Whoever tries to lose their life for my sake will save it. He says, it will be a time of judgment, just like Sodom and Gomorrah faced. It reminds me of a scenario where a person who wakes up in the middle of the night is to find their home all in flames, and the person might be tempted to run around and take their time and gather up all of their valuable items, but all of the lingering might prevent their escape. All of the things will be lost, as well as the person's life, if they linger too long. It is better to leave it all behind than risking your life. And so God is saying, will you leave it all behind? Before the day of my return, will you leave it all behind? Make up your mind and leave it behind. And don't go back and don't look back. Escape the world. Leave it behind. I'm reminded today of the day that Elijah found Elisha. I won't be much longer. It says in 1 Kings chapter 19, so Elijah went from there and found Elisha. He was plowing with 12 yoke of oxen. Elijah went up to him and threw his cloak around him. Elisha then left his oxen and ran after Elijah. Let me kiss my father and mother goodbye, he said, and then I'll come with you. So Elijah left him and went back, and he took his yoke of oxen and slaughtered them. He burned the plowing equipment to cook the meat and gave it to the people, and they ate. Then he set out to follow Elijah and become his servant. When Elisha was determined to follow Elijah, he burned his plow, he burned all of his equipment, and he sacrificed his oxen. It was his way of saying, I am not coming back to this. I am leaving this way of life behind. Paul the apostle said, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Forgetting what is behind, reaching forth for what is before, I press toward the mark. When Jesus began to talk about the time in which you and I live, he had a simple but direct message for the church. He said, remember Lot's wife. If you haven't made up your mind today, whether you're here with us or you're watching online today, if you haven't made up your mind to serve God with all of your heart and leave this world behind, will you do one thing for me today? Remember Lot's wife. Consider Lot's wife. Think about Lot's wife. Consider the mistake she made. The question this morning is, are you lingering or are you running? Are you hesitating, church, or have you made up your mind? I will not linger in the last days. Let's all stand this morning. The name Jesus is derived from the Hebrew name Yeshua. And Yeshua means to deliver or rescue. Lord went to Joseph in the New Testament and said, your wife will bring forth a son and you shall call him Jesus. Why? For he will save his people from their sins. He will be their rescuer. He will be their deliverer. Like in the days of Lot, God sends his plan of mercy, his hand of mercy, in the form of Jesus Christ, who died on the cross for our salvation. And Jesus knocks on the door saying, don't linger any longer. Don't hesitate. Don't wait any longer. I'm here. My mercy is here. My shed blood is for everyone who will come. Get out of your place of darkness. Come out of your place of sin and come to me. Come to the cross. Follow me. That's the gospel in a nutshell. We don't have to face the same judgment that Sodom and Gomorrah faced. We aren't going to have to face the same condemnation that this world is going to have to face. For our Redeemer liveth. Don't linger any longer, church. person online, don't linger any longer. It's the last days. The Lord has given us a last days message. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. The Bible says, let the wicked forsake their way. Let the unrighteous man forsake his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon them, and he will abundantly pardon. He will abundantly forgive.
Thank you for joining us today. Be sure to subscribe and share this podcast with your friends. For more information about Pursuit, visit PursuitChurchAR.com. Thank you for listening, and see you next week.